It's good to be together, friends. Let me add my greetings to Amanda's for all of those who have returned from their summer away. We're glad that you're back with us and looking forward to hear your stories. Some of you have probably pretty interesting summers. Good, bad, the ugly, all of it. And I'm pretty excited to hear what the Lord has been teaching you in this season and over the past 4 months or 2 months or however it's been, whether it's camp or work or seeing family or traveling the world. I'm very thankful for the way that Karenport becomes this gathering place for people all over. So welcome here. If you don't know who I am, my name is Heather, and I have been the pastor of worship and community life here at the Gathering for the past year. And today is my first day of my new job as the associate pastor at the church in Karenport. We'll talk about that as we go through the morning. but it's been quite a year here at the Gathering. We've had a lot of changes. Some we were prepared for and worked towards gradually, and others that came up quite surprisingly, to say the least. Probably the most expected is that, as you know, our lead pastor for the last 15 years, Kevin Fawcett, made a transition out of leadership here in Karenport at the end of May, and is now looking ahead to moving to Manitoba with his family to take on a new ministry position. So if you see Kevin and Melanie around, they're in the midst of their own transitions yet again. So please be in prayer for them as they look for a new house and sell a house and do all of that. We're pretty excited for the work that Kevin, I know Kevin is excited for the work that he has to do, coming up with some friends of the Gathering, really, this connection for him and the work that the Lord's given him to do in this season. Unless you were with us at the end of May or have been following us online, you may not know what kind of word Kevin actually gave us as his last word here at the Gathering as our pastor. And so at the end of May, Kevin shared with us, and there were two words that came up for us that actually have arisen out of this document we call the Claim, Calling, and Care. Things we claim, what God's calling us to do, and what we're learning to care about. And here at the Gathering, as we turn this page and enter a new chapter here in Karenport, I felt like it was important to come back to those encouragements from Kevin and to unpack them a little bit for you. So when Kevin stepped away from his role, he offered us a word of encouragement that was in the form of a promise and an exhortation to a posture. And so that's what we're going to unpack today. The first of those was this reminder that Jesus promises that he is building his church. I will build my church, he says, and the gates of death will not withstand it. Who could have known that we'd be 3 months down the road and on the verge of really big changes, on the precipice of unifying the churches in Karenport into one worshiping and missional body? If you had told me that when Kevin finished, I would have been quite surprised, to be honest. But this word seems to have hit the core of how our summer unfolded, that the Lord is promising that he is building his church, that he is at work among us. And so since the Lord spoke so clearly to our leadership in June, we've been pressing into this calling, into his calling on our lives in new ways and in similar ways, as we have all along, seeking the Lord's will for both, for us, all of us as a family, and for our organizations as they come together. The Lord's calling us into life together with the body in ways that are fresh and in ways that are familiar. And for that, I am very thankful. I know that many of you have questions about what the fall will look like. And so I felt like it was important to give you a picture of what I know right now. And so I'm going to walk through a few things with you so that you're aware and you understand. And they're points of continuing conversation, right? This is how life is unfolding right now. But the reality is the Lord still has a great deal to reveal to us. And I'm very thankful for that. It forces us into places of dependence upon him, for which I am grateful. So first of all, hopefully, there we go. This is our board of directors. Some of those names you're going to be very familiar with, some of them you're not. This is a leadership team that was formed about just over a month ago of people from the board of directors from CEC and from our visioning team. And so there's a mixture of people there. This is what it looks like as it stands now. And each of these people have terms, which means that they will ebb and flow over time. And new people will join them, and some will step off, and all of those things. They are people committed to seeking the Lord and asking Him how we should do life together. And I'm very thankful for their gifts, for the strengths that they bring to the table, and for their wisdom. My hope is that in time, you will know each one of them. You'll know them by name and by sight. You'll know their families and their commitment to following the Lord faithfully and providing leadership and counsel for those of us who are on staff. Speaking of staff, I've had lots of questions about this one. Our staff structure has been a main topic of conversation at a leadership level for the past month or so, and I'm really thankful, honestly, for where it's landed. Josh and I work very well together. We went to school together. And there's a way in which the Lord has blessed us in coming together and along with this this board of directors discerning where our gifts need to be fostered and where we need to be stretched. And I'm very thankful for that. As associate pastor, I'm going to continue my work giving shape to worship on Sunday morning. Lots of liturgy. It gives me joy to shape the practices that build us as a body and unite us as a body. So I'm very thankful for that. To be able to continue to work with the leaders like the ones you saw this morning, who will continue to be such an active part of our life together, to shape our prayer and our time around the Word and all those things. So along with that, I'll be continuing to spend time discerning the gifts of the body and getting to know you and working with Josh to equip and to support those who are leading the various ministries that are going to take shape over time, some that we know about right now and some that we don't. And so I'm thankful to be able to continue walking alongside with all of you. Josh is in the role of lead pastor, which means that he carries the vision and mission of the church directly from the board. He's going to be leading the staff as we equip the saints for the work of ministry. He'll also be leading a teaching team that we're putting together over the next while and focusing a lot of his time on pastoral care. I know from my conversations with Josh, which happen a lot more often now that I actually moved into my office, it's strange being in the school all the time, that he has a great desire to get to know those of you that he doesn't know. But it's going to take time. So be patient as he works through the hundreds of people, some new and some familiar. But can I ask one thing of you? Let me encourage you to connect with Josh and to do life with Josh and Deschelle, his wife. Let them see the amazing blessing that it means to be a part of this family. Pray for them. Love on them. And support them by upholding them before the Lord as they lead. They're incredibly important as we walk through this. And lastly, Grace Karklins is going to continue in her role as office assistant, for which I am abundantly grateful. Grace and I share a wall, so it's nice having a buddy all the time, and a very musical one at that. And I'm so thankful for Grace's, the ease at which Grace does administration. There's a way in which that lifts it off my shoulders to a certain extent, but also I'm just thankful for her friendship and that there is space for us to grow together. There are some things you don't see up there. You don't see Children's Church and you don't see youth. We've approached people to take these roles either for a long term, in the long term or in transitional basis. And we will update you on what that looks like when it gets confirmed. But I know this, that our goal is to create a safe space for our babies, for our children, and for our youth to worship, to learn, to grow, and to be discipled. That's our goal. We're looking for ways to bring together the amazing things that both of these congregations have learned over time in order to just press into what is best right, and what the Lord reveals. And I trust that in time, as we do that, the Lord is going to reveal to us the right people for each season of who are going to lead those things. So they're not forgotten. They're right deep in conversation right now. Know that and continue in prayer for us as we do that. In fact, this goal of bringing together what we have learned and grown to value is at the heart of the ongoing ministries of the church. Look at this list. It's not exhaustive at all, but these are just some of the things that are continuing from what we can see. They are some of the ministries that the church here in Karenport has fostered over time and values highly. I've had a lot of questions about house church in particular. House church is such an important piece of life here at the gathering. We don't know exactly what these ministries are going to look like long term. But let me say this. House church and discipleship are one of the things that our neighbors down the street are particularly excited about when they think about doing life together with us. They love the emphasis that we have on deep relationships, on gathering in homes and around tables. And so these things, this is one of the gifts that the Lord's given us and developed within us to bring to the whole body. And so I'm excited for that. If you're currently in a house church, let me encourage you to as you were, keep going. Keep doing life together. Keep gathering around your tables. But also consider in this coming season, in the immediate season, discussing and discerning what it looks like to make space for new friends and new families. Not only among our students, but also as our communities blend into one. This is an amazing opportunity that we have to get to know each other and to connect. There are a few other details that I could share at this point, but instead, I think it's important for me to ask a favor of all of you, particularly those of you who have been around for a while. With so many details yet to be discerned and perhaps even just like followed through, carried through, I want to ask you for patience with us. Moving organizationally with such speed means that there are some things that are still needing to be transitions and conversations that are needing to be had. So, like the direction of our 10% mission fund, right? Both churches, it turns out, set aside 10% of their entire budget to give to those organizations and individuals who are actively on mission in a way that we here in Karenport might not be. It's beautiful. Thank you for showing me. So yes, whether it's the direction of our mission fund or even the small logistic details of our electronic giving, like the fact that right now it's the CCC treasurer, that's just because it's Chad Foreman and we haven't put all the email addresses together yet. So just be patient with us, I ask. Especially if you see little things that don't have the name of the church on it right away. It's just because we have legal and financial details that are underway. So please be patient with us. Just so you know, we are continuing to iron those things out in time, but also there's good things happening, like we're building a new website with Luke Johnson. Woo-hoo! We love Luke. Building a new website with Luke, and currently we're trying to get a Facebook page up for this week so that we can communicate with you as effectively as possible. But as time goes on, those things will become really clear, and we'll make sure that we're communicating with you more and more. Lastly, and this one hits a little bit closer to home, I know that many of you, as you sit here today, have some concerns or even fears about what might be lost in coming together. Like this lovely family-centered space that we have, right? Where we do life together. I know, and I have spoken with many of you about concerns that you have about what might be lost, particularly in our times of corporate worship. I know that that is a concern. You wonder and doubt if these two congregations in coming together, if the same things will be valued, if we'll practice things in the same way, or if everything's just going to change and it's a blank slate. I want to be honest with you. Things are changing as we press into the calling that the Lord's given us. It's all in that context. But it doesn't actually mean that we leave everything behind. we're all on this journey together, and there are things that we bring to the table that the Lord has revealed to us, and things that our brothers and sisters down the road bring to the table that he's been revealing to them that we need to hear and we need to do together. The most obvious change is that we'll be leaving the landing, which is hard for many of us. Wow, I didn't expect to get emotional. To be leaving the landing, and we're going to be worshiping in the Hildebrand. Because fire code necessitates it. We can't fit enough people in here, right? We simply cannot fit enough people in this space. In order to be faithful to the Lord's calling, we need to begin worshiping in a new one. We are in some ways current stewards and occupants of this space. Do you know that? That the landing has for decades been devoted to the worship of our Lord. And we are but occupants in that space, blessed by it. Blessed by a space that's been set aside year after year after year in order that God's people would worship in this little matchbox. We've had joys in this space and tears. We've had family moments. We've had weddings, encounters with the Lord, times of prayer and of singing and of dance. But as I spend more and more time in the Hildebrand Chapel, and believe me, I feel like I live there right now, I am increasingly thankful for the ways that that space is and will be a reflection of the Lord Jesus, of the triune God among us, but also it'll be a reflection of our community, of those who gather. The Hildebrand will be transformed in the ways that the landing has been transformed. Some of you will remember a time when we didn't have these banners. Some of you will remember a time when we didn't sit like this. And as much as we don't have the leeway to move the pews, because that would be hard, the Hildebrand will, I trust, over time, become a new home for us. And we will end up back in the landing again on Christmas Eve, lighting candles. And perhaps even next summer, when our numbers are smaller, we'll make our way back over here. Or for various events throughout the year, whether your students doing surrender or you're coming to the RU show on Tuesday night, this place will continue to be a place where God's people gather. But the Hildebrand will be filled with both the new and the familiar. Colors and images that are familiar to us and yet may be envisioned in a new way. And that's exciting. We're going to have familiar songs and new artwork. New practices, and yet our foundation will be in the communion and baptism and preaching of Scripture as it has always been. My hope and trust is that God will reveal to us in the coming ways how he wants us to prepare space for this new community. And if things are taking shape now are of any indication, worshiping the triune God in the church in Karenport is going to be a beautiful thing. It's going to be a reflection of his glory and a rich encounter with God and with one another as we devote ourselves to him. So rest assured that God gathers his people in space and time, and he will bless that space as he has always done. This is the church in Karenport. Yes, that's the name, believe it or not. It's going to come up in a second, hopefully. Or not. Maybe. There we go. This is the church in Karenport. Yes, that is actually the name. When our leadership team collected all of these names from everybody, it suddenly became quite clear that we needed to just simply say who we were and who we are, right? That we are people gathered in Karenport. And it might change shape of what that looks like over time. Right now, you see this little spot in the middle of the prairies, almost like a beacon. Karenport has a history of being a beacon on the prairies. There's even a book called that, talking about our life here together in Briarcrest. And so this is where we gather. Beacons have no function apart from the message that they send. Right? It's us. So this is the church in Karenport. And ironically enough, maybe that's the wrong word, but you know what I mean. Ironically enough, this is the name that we have used time and time again in our combined services to greet everybody. Welcome to the church in Karenport. And now it's official, this name that we have. And our mission is to be a community devoted to seeking the triune God revealed in Scripture and to making disciples nurtured for kingdom service. Super basic, but super profound at the same time. Our work is to seek and to make disciples. It's what gives us drive. It sets us forward. It's appropriate to our context that discipleship would be at the heart of what we do. But at the same time, we are seeking the Lord together. It's an ongoing word. Seeking the Lord. Seeking the triune God. This term triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, is really important in our context. Whether someone's ever articulated it for you or not, both of the churches in Karenport, so the church in Karenport and Briarcrest, are interdenominational spaces. What that means is that we have this glorious opportunity to bring together the foundations of our faith and a full array of the practices of the church beyond denominational lines. It means that sometimes when you worship and respond, it'll be things that you've experienced before, and then other times it'll be brand new. And we'll try to guide you along the way. But we have this mandate to worship God as he's revealed himself in Trinity. And so we firmly believe that he is guiding us week by week to seek him in that. The revelation of God in Scripture. We believe that the Scriptures are the written revelation of God to humanity, revealing the Lord Jesus by the power of the Spirit through his work in the history and as he speaks to us now. And so, as always, the Scriptures will continue to be at the core of our worship together, at the core of our life together. It will be the foundation of our teaching and of our growth. It will be our counsel and our guide, and it will be the place where we draw both children and adults and babies to learn who God is. And that'll be our foundation. And lastly, we are called to this mission to nurture disciples for kingdom service. We firmly believe that we are called as a community to nurture one another, but for a purpose. We are one kingdom together, far beyond this space. But our goal is that as a holy priesthood, we would be equipped to go into all nations to serve and to preach the good news of Christ. And that as time goes on, the Lord will nurture in us the gifts of the Spirit that he's given to each one of us. So that's our commitment. This is the mission of the church in Karenport. It gives us direction and keeps us centered on what's important. That being said, I do trust that over time, the Lord will give us fresh visions of what it looks like to carry that mission out. Right? There will be seasons when maybe it looks like rough waters, or other seasons when it's like glassy seas and we're coasting along, you know. There will be seasons when there's a particular part of our life together that needs to be emphasized or worked on. And yet through it all, our anchor is in the Father and the Son and the Spirit, who we worship and who is revealed in our life together as he works in and through us. You know, if you said to me a year ago today, when I came back to the gathering, that I would be sharing with you on this particular day when the gathering community came together for worship, for the last time in this space, in this configuration, I don't know what I would have said. Throughout the year, I think the Lord has been moving pieces that we cannot see that are now becoming clear. That he has been preparing in secret something to reveal over time of himself and of who we are. You know, I mentioned earlier that Kevin shared with us a promise that he will build his church, and I think he's been doing that. I know he's been doing that, and he will continue to do that. Whether we can see it or not, I am thankful that our Lord Jesus is both carpenter and builder and cornerstone. That he doesn't stand on the outside, but he's right at the foundation of who we are as his people, no matter where he calls us. So there was this promise that the Lord Jesus gave that he will build his church. And nothing we can do about it is going to get in the way. But Kevin also offered an exhortation. And it's an exhortation that feels like it's the very, at least for me, has been right at the core of the gathering all along. And that exhortation is to look, listen, and live. As I close, let me call you to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, trusting in his goodness and guidance in the coming days. Listen to these words from Isaiah 55. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But know this, that as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, like the green grass we have outside currently, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Looking to Jesus, we also listen for his voice. We trust that as we listen, he speaks to us, and the more we listen, the better we hear. Even if it means times of silence that draw us deeper so we can hear an even quieter voice. We want to be attuned to what he is doing. And so in our practices and in our life together, let me call you to listen for his voice, his beautiful voice. And lastly, to live out what he's revealing to you. Don't just sit on the sidelines. I know it's tempting. I know it's tempting to wait and to watch and to stand at a safe distance in this season, to just see how things unfold and then decide what it looks like to be a part of the community. But I'm asking you and encouraging you to listen for the voice of the Lord and press into his body. You have gifts that we need. Whether you feel like you've been using them already or there's something that's coming, we have gifts that you need. You have gifts that we need. Switch that around. God promises that he will equip his church for the work that he has. And you are a part of this. Even if it's hard or uncomfortable, even when it's scary, let me encourage you to ask the Lord for courage. That's what encourage means, to be given courage. For courage to try new things, or to see with new eyes, or to hear with new ears. Living life can be messy, we all know that. But it's our hope and peace that we are guided and made new day by day by the Spirit that lives in all of us. Know and trust that he who began a good work in you, he who began a good work in us, will bring it to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. And not only that, but that his word doesn't return empty, as Isaiah wrote. Know that if he began a good work in you, he's certainly going to continue that work for his entire kingdom. And we all have a part to play. So we're going to keep on journeying in this kingdom life together. Let me invite you in this simple way to join us next week as we worship as the church in Karenport on the seminary lawn, weather permitting. Hopefully we'll be outside. Closing one chapter and beginning another in this life together. We're going to worship outside and welcome everybody together and welcome all of our students back and new faculty and staff and families that have moved here. Josh will be beginning a new fall series that we're heading to about the call of Abraham, which seems oddly appropriate given our context right now, in Genesis, and I'm going to be leading music. There will be familiar people and unfamiliar people, and that is how we will learn to get to know each other. And of course, gathering on the lawn would be nothing without also adding a potluck barbecue. So we're going to do that and gather. So let me invite you, bring a chair, bring a blanket, bring some food, salads, and dessert. Yes, dessert. CCC rocks the dessert factor, just pointing it out. It's a big gift to the body. I'm very thankful. So, yes, you are all invited to bring salads and desserts. We'll make sure there's some gluten-free stuff there as well. But also, in typical gathering fashion, I'm going to invite you to bring games. Right, there's a giant lawn out there. If there's an activity that you can do with others, these are the ways that we bond together, by doing stuff and by eating together. So let me invite you to that. We're going to start at 10:30, like normal, hopefully, yeah. And fellowship together and press in just a little deeper, taking a first step. Everybody together, hopefully in the sunshine and not too much wind. And if it rains, then we'll probably end up in the Hildebrandt because we can't fit anywhere else. So we'll communicate with you about that. I can't imagine a more fitting way to finish our time in this space together than to sing together. The music that God has given us here at the gathering has always been one of our greatest blessings. It's been a way that God has used the gifts of the body to create space for other gifts, whether it's dance or singing or artwork. And yet it is also this beautiful moment that we have week by week, and we will continue to have, in which we come together literally with one voice, maybe with parts occasionally. And so it is one of the powerful ways that we respond to him, but also declare who he is. So as Abby and her team come, we're going to respond together to this word that we're hearing. And I also think we're going to do something else. I think in singing together, we will bless this space once again for the purpose that it has. We will be declaring the truth of who the Lord is, while also responding in our hearts to what we've heard and we've been hearing. And even as we bless this space, I trust that the Lord will give you freedom to respond in the way that he has called you to. Whether it is simply singing or sitting in prayer with a friend or on your own. Whether it is giving a hug to somebody else who the Lord puts on your heart. Or whether it is dance. Let me invite you, as we always have, to respond together to all that we've been hearing this morning and to proclaim the name of Jesus over this space and over one another.